If you were any part of a man, I would slap your jaws, Forrest told Bragg. If you ever again try to interfere with me or cross my path, it will be at the peril of your life. Well, this is pretty flagrant insubordination, I would say. Directly threatening your commanding general. The kind of insubordination that clearly should not go unpunished, but it did go unpunished. And I think it went unpunished because of the nature of the man who did the threatening here. I've mentioned Forrest a couple of times earlier in our course. Let me just talk a little bit more about him now. He's one of the most colorful, doesn't really get at what he was one of the most of. He's absolutely flamboyant in some ways. He's unique in some ways among Civil War commanders. He had a fierce reputation. He'd been born absolutely hard scrabble, grown up very poor, had to make his way in life very early by his wits. He had almost no education. He'd become a slave trader in the years before the war, had amassed a fortune, land and slaves. After the war, he was the first imperial wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. He didn't found the Klan, but he was the first imperial wizard of the Klan. He was accused of massacring black soldiers and white Unionist soldiers at Fort Pillow in 1864. One of the many notorious incidents that clustered around him. His partisans have always denied that Forrest had urged his soldiers to kill these black soldiers at Fort Pillow who had surrendered or tried to surrender. In books right down to the present day, you'll read that Forrest's men got out of control somehow, but Forrest wasn't involved. Other lost cause writers would argue that there was no slaughter at all. But in fact, I think Forrest probably took an active role. And let me just quote very quickly from a letter written by a man named Achilles Clark to his sister on April 14th, 1864, right after the Battle of Fort Pillow. This man was in the 20th Tennessee Cavalry, and he's describing he participated in the Fort Pillow battle, and he wrote this. The slaughter was awful. Words cannot describe the scene. The poor, deluded Negroes would run up to our men, fall upon their knees, and with uplifted hands scream for mercy, but they were ordered to their feet and then shot down. I, with several others, tried to stop the butchery and at one time had partially succeeded, but General Forrest ordered them shot down like dogs, and the carnage continued. Finally, our men became sick of blood and the firing ceased. Forrest himself was unrepentant, certainly. He wrote, "The river was dyed with the blood of the slaughtered for 200 yards. It's hoped that these facts will demonstrate to the Northern people that Negro soldiers cannot cope with Southerners." I don't think there's much doubt that Forrest not only knew what was going on, but actually approved of what was going on at Fort Pillow. Fort Pillow became a cause célèbre in the North. There was a congressional investigation into what happened at Fort Pillow. The point is that this is part of a very controversial career. Forrest was a very good cavalryman. He used his cavalry more as mounted infantry. He'd get them to a battlefield and then get them off their horses and they'd fight as infantry. He's often quoted as saying that the key to winning battles was to get there firstest with the mostest men. He actually, if he said it at all, said first with the most. But he was considered by many then and remains considered today by some historians and other people interested in the Civil War as the greatest genius, military, untutored genius of the war. I think that's greatly exaggerated. You'll often read that if only he'd been given an army, if only Forrest had been given more responsibility. I can't even imagine Forrest in command of an army. It's too scary to contemplate. I think he'd probably reached his level of competency, but he was very good at that level. William Tecumseh Sherman said once that Forrest would have to be dealt with if it took 10,000 lives and broke the United States Treasury. Yankee soldiers called him that Devil Forrest, but he always fought on a small scale. He said he had 29 horses killed out from under him during the war and that he had killed at least one more Federal than he had lost horses. Wounded many times. Lots of quotes, very quotable quotations from him. He said once that he liked to be wounded occasionally because it drained his boils. I'll give just one more anecdote about him, and this gets to the question of whether he would have been a good army commander or not.